Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the host or the producer or the player or the coach, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you are a leader in that purpose. And our goal is simple, to inspire and equip all to leave where they are. In other words, get on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that calling. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, broken, isolated people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem, and that's just building a way of life. He C-U-E'd them up. C stands for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's the why we've come together. U, the unified thought, is what the vision can be shared, what we intend to do together, what we intend to accomplish. And E, equally yoke, is what is the game plan, what success looks like, what's your role in, what's my role in, is how we work together in order to get this done. So Q leadership, in general, integrate these biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as the model and helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you in discipleship. Trust and discipleship, there's two axes of leadership that we use here at Q Leadership in order to inspire and equip leaders no matter where they are. So as we always do, Lord, we want to start off with our prayer. Lord, we are a powerful, merciful, living God. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q Leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Lord, that is our motto. Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose. Align, equip, and transform new leaders for your glory. Help others hear the call, receive the call, and raise some of these transformation leaders, these shepherds, these gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what to expect during our time here? Our show is about to have a dialogue. We have a dialogue, have a conversation about leadership based in God's word. Equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into that faith and to tap into that discipleship in order to build and influence and lead others, and highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference and can testify to the Lord's goodness and be transformational. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine some light and some truth and love. Not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not really the focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but get at the root of the problem. In other words, treat the infection rather than the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open that we hear the Lord and not me. Have the right questions no matter what the differences are. Remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinion, and let us do what a true transformation leader said. Let's agree without being disagreeable. Be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue. And as we kick off a show, it is the ending of one season and the beginning of another. As we leave summer and enter fall, particularly it's a season for our ministry, especially for On Cue Radio. Today is our 50th show, and we can have a virtual applause, if you will. And we thank all of you for sharing this time with us over this last year and our calling. And it's our first year anniversary. You know, we've covered a lot of topics over this last year or so, and we actually had seven different series. Remember, we started off with the Me Now culture, where we discussed the challenges yet opportunities to serve our society based in Romans 12. We had the Difference Maker series, where every leader who are making a difference, being one to another, as is pressed on by Apostle Paul in various places in the Word, Romans, Thessalonians, the Ephesians, Galatians, just pick where Paul wrote. He always talked about being one to another. We had a wellness series that focuses on building the spirit and building a wellspring that is based in Proverbs. The next series is Vow to Praise. It's based in Psalm 22, where we parallel the David's cry with our Lord's cry in a time of need. And it was, no matter what the challenges are, it was going to be a vow to praise the Lord anyway. Which led to our Freedom series, was based in Galatians 5, where we highlighted freedom. Freedom that was in Christ Jesus and what that type of liberation would give to your mind, body, and spirit. And lastly, we ended the season of or the first year of On Cue and Covenant series based in Ezekiel 35, where the Lord is dissatisfied with leadership in Israel for his people who were scattered and exposed to the world. We parallel that to what we see today and was asking the Lord to raise some new transformation leaders is what On Cue is all about. So a lot of great content, a lot of collaboration, a lot of prayers, a lot of input, and I just want to say thank God, and I want to say thank you, my friends and family and audience who's always tuned in to help and support our ministry. So if I had to sum it up, though, it would be like this. We're living in a me-now culture filled with irreverence that puts our future society at risk. But we thank God for the difference makers who are supporting the wellness of a lost, scattered generation. Regardless of the outcome of our calling, we will vow to praise God and use the freedom that we have in Christ to impact this world. As leaders, we must keep our covenant with the Lord and not the things of this world, but pray that God uses us to gather these scattered people. And for this day onward, we will commit to being that pillar, that principle, that for Lord's glory, so that we can continue to move this nation, move our world from one condition to the next. We don't know what this season, upcoming season, will entail, but as my mom said, if I live, Lord, spare, we ask for his coverage, his love, his mercy, his grace, and his strength in this new season. But, you know, as fall means a lot of things right now, and fall also means a new season of fall colors. That means leaves and also fashion, what I hear. New season for schools at all levels. It's time to put in the work over the summer, reading, serving, having fun, getting focused, and preparing to learn. Thinking of growing up in L.A., that's Lower Alabama for most of us, the rural country side, it's time for a new season for harvesting crops that we would plant back in the spring, from cotton to corn to peas to watermelons. My older siblings, my parents did more of that than I did, but it's still a lot of work the time I did get a chance to do it. And most importantly, though, it is. I wouldn't say most importantly, but I guess it is today since I'm trying to fit the show in between two great games, set of games. It's time for the greatest game in America. It's the new season for football. And football, we love it. As I do, and everyone knows, every time football season rolls around, we get excited. I was fortunate enough last week, my family and I go to the Florida State and Oklahoma State game last week. Really good kickoff to the season, a great game. You know, while I was there, once again, I dripped of suiting up just one more time, at least play one more play. And I say one more play because I don't miss the seasons of preparation prior to that, the working out, the running, the weights, watching film, the heated two-a-days, the freezing mornings prior to going to class while we're in college, the treatments of injuries. That was hard work as well. You know, if I will try to compare the last two, football and farming, they're a lot alike. Not only we harvest our work in the fall, but we also give our sores a break. They are rotating the sores as we take the break after the season to allow bodies to heal and reconstitute our nutrients. Second, we can condition our sores with fertilizer and rotation, and we condition our teams with recruiting and other efforts and drafts. We condition our bodies in the weight room with the right nutrition, and we condition our minds while watching film. In football in general, in sports in general, and in farming, we plant seeds in our souls to reap the harvest that we've sown. If it's from the start of the team, if it's through the team, start of the year off well, or winning some games or getting to the show, to the championship. In this season of harvest, reaping depends on what you have planted and what you have sowed up until this point. You know, crops planted at the right times, got the right conditions, right care to bear fruits, and new seeds for planting for the next year. But what happens when those right conditions do not occur and there is no harvest and there is no seeds to replant? What happens when nothing you do is right to get you on a team or get you prepared or you get injured? What when you put the work in and you don't get the harvest? Or those of us, some of us may even defile our own crops at times. The sun may scorch all your work that is done because we've done it in the wrong way. Or when the winds of life kind of blight our crops with disease or mildews, those things. As we can see that happening in a reference today in like Haggai 2, when God has smote every work of his people with their hands, with wind, mildew, and hail because of the defiled disobedience. It reads in verse 17 in Haggai 2, is that I smote you and every work of your hand with the blasting wind and mildew and hail, yet you did not come back to me, okay, declares the Lord. Do consider for this day onward from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded. Consider this. Is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive oil has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. Because, it confused me at first, but because of the response of Haggai's message, the future abundance was assured for the Israel responded in a positive way. So regardless of your circumstances, where you are and what your situation is, you have to consider in the instructions in verse 8, you know, from this day onward, we have choices to make about our lives, about our ministry, about our children, and really it's just the question of the day. From this day onward, how will we stay on cue with God's will? How do we stay on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and how do we stay on cue with that purpose in this new season? It's an important question as we go into that. Most important question is what the Lord asks in verse 19. It asks, he said, is there seed still in the barn? Are we giving back to him, sowing back to him? Are we building a good foundation or planting the good seed on a good soil? For our ministry, for your ministry, for our lives, for your lives, for our kids, we have to determine in all of that if we are the seed, the sower, and or the soil. So after the break, we'll start our conversation about this new season and from this day onward and try to answer that from this day onward. Are we a seed, a sower, or the soil, or all three? So during the break, stay with us. Call us and log in your thoughts. Feel free to stay and share with us. Our number is 310-861-2331. To ask a question or make a comment, press 1 on your telephone, which raises your hands virtually. You're also welcome to log on to our live chat room on Blog Talk at On Cue Radio, and my daughter Kennedy can bring you on and chat with you and get your comments and bring you in. So, friends, we would love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you Get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions the person for better leadership, but positions the person for better life.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. So today's question in a new season, from this day onward, helping us that with this question is you. And please call us at 310-861-2331.
Hey, Dad, can I interrupt you for a second? First, I just want to say congratulations on your first anniversary and 50th show.
Right.
You know how every single show you always have a guest and you ask them questions, trying to get them to know about themselves, trying to get them, lead them to what you're going to talk about, have a dialogue.
Right.
So I just want to do that the same. I just want to do the same thing to you.
Why do I feel hijacked?
So, is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
So let's start off. What is the one word that describes you?
Oh, you. Look at you. That one word to describe me, I've thought about it, I guess, for a while since I've been asking that question. And I think it's catalyst. You think about it from the catalyst perspective. It is catalyst to unify some difference makers, some leaders, some shepherds for God's glory. Think about your chemistry class. You had chemistry last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's where you have a substance that's kind of increased the rate of some reaction, if you will. And but that substance doesn't necessarily go amongst any type of change. And so instead of that change, my calling is really to be the catalyst for leaders to gather these scattered people that we're talking about.
Okay. So next question. What would you do if money was not an issue?
Oh, wow. That's usually my second question. I think it's more the same of what I'm doing here. You know, the radio show is an ornament on the Christmas tree. As you know, you've been in my workshops, you've been in my huddles, and helped facilitate a lot of different things and really be my right and left hand. So more of that, teaching and equipping leaders for God's glory, creating some more shepherds and some gatekeepers. And those, you know what I mean by gatekeepers. More of the same, build out some of the programs. So On Cue is just one of the programs. If money was no issue, which I've been asking the Lord for right provisions in order to move this forward, I'll expand the radio to a little bit more media and focus on the corporate perspective a little bit more. Because On Cue can go just from a radio to not necessarily television, but online, just in ways of enhancements.
Right.
The second program, if everyone doesn't know, is Play. It's where I've been working with some organizations, I can't say just yet, who around my huddles, where I come together as a huddle, and we create, it's the same curriculum, but we call it Play. Play means purpose, leadership, accountability, you. And so that, in a sense, when you come in a huddle in any sports, you get a play and you leave it with a playbook. So out of the huddle, you leave with a playbook around leadership and accountability and decision-making. The second is gatekeepers. I mean, the third is the gatekeeper, what is really a youth curriculum. I think I can say this one, that the local YMCA and I are partnering with rolling this out amongst their organizations. Just a few sites at this point. I'm actually supposed to be at one of their workshops in the next couple of weeks to talk about parts of this as well. And it's really focused on the equipping kids younger, 18 to 12, about 18, around the full armor of God, and it's called the Gatekeeper. And then the last one, which I haven't put a lot of work in, is it's called Sidewalk Out. It essentially, I heard someone on television some years ago, a couple years ago, when the economy was still pretty bad, and said, well, you know, we have highways of going into poverty and not a sidewalk out. And so that Sidewalk Out program is a way to find and develop economic means in order to necessarily educate, but also build wealth. It's around business. It's around savings. Everyone has different financial services program, but we want to find tactical ways to find sidewalks out of different situations. So I was rolled that out pretty easily because I just talked about that last week to a few folks. But that's what I'll be doing this morning. That's a long answer to a short question, though, right?
I mean, you're doing a lot, so it's good.
Okay.
So before the break, you mentioned that...
So you're just going to take over?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
So before the break, you mentioned that from this day onward, we have to have to determine if we are seed, sower, or soil.
Mm-hmm.
You shared in Haggai 2:19 where the question was asked, is there any seed left in the barn? What is the significance of this question, and what does that mean for us, from this day onward?
Well, you know, great question, and it leads to just the things I prepared today. But, you know, as you know, seeds are the catalyst in order to grow a harvest in the world and bear more fruit. For us on this day forward, the question is if the seeds we're planting is really of the flesh or of the spirit. You know, we have to examine these two types of seeds. One, if you kind of think about it, one being dormant. Most seeds go through this period of dormancy where they essentially are asleep, where there's no active growth. During the time, the seeds can be safely kind of transported from one location to another to survive different adverse climate conditions and under circumstances with favorable growth. We're trying to get them to the point where they grow. So those dormant seeds are ripe, but they do not germinate because they're subject to external conditions and prevent the initiation of that process in order to spark cell growth. I'm going to a little science class here, but under proper conditions, though, these seeds can begin to germinate, and these embryos, these tissues, resume growth and developing towards seedlings, right? Most of us go through that period of dormancy. I've gone through it. Even in this ministry, even when being called years ago of running, going through this period of dormancy where we have no growth and where we are idle, but the question remains if we can survive these adverse conditions and can we cope, can we endure? So we cover adverse conditions in our society, in our churches, in our homes, in our communities. And either is dealing, we covered a lot of that this past year, even dealing with the Newtown shooting, the Navy Yard shooting, not trying to figure out how to cope with those situations, not only just cope with the incident, but those individuals who are committing these crimes. Even to the 16-year-old in Murfreesboro, Pennsylvania, who's acting out on adversity. When you get in these tough times, what do you anchor yourself in? And even to the most recent time, that twisted manifesto of Elliot Rodgers. You know, really, our question of that show: what was filling his vessel? And all these events were, I think, the epitome of what the Me Now culture was all about. And what I talked about Me Now culture, if you recall, in the first series, is the Me Now culture has us idle. The Me Now culture is really about me, and I want it now, and it gets us idle. And so, idle meaning literally stagnant. And scared and fear, but then if you look at I, it's irreverent to God's glory, to his calling. D, dependent on things that are not of him. And then L is loyalty that's misplaced on the world, on a doctrine, on society, on politics, on race. And then E, entitlement. And so entitled to things that are not theirs. The Lord doesn't owe us anything. He's already paid a price for us. We don't deserve anything. So those are the things. And, you know, all of this is kind of really a matter of what type of seed we are. Getting back to the question, one of the flesh that is dependent on our circumstances, or one of the spirit. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's about joy, right? Joy is not depending on our circumstances, like in Elliot Rogers. You know, if you recall that he killed those girls just because they were not attracted to him. And so if you remember, we had Pastor Dwayne Washington on at the time talking about that Twisted Manifesto. Mm-hmm. And here, if you can play that cut, number one, here's what he shared.
Well, think about it like this. If you think about it, Eric, if we have two dogs, you know, two dogs and the same breed of dog, and one dog we feed healthy stuff, we're working him out all the time. He's big and strong. He's healthy. His teeth are white. He's got them all. And then the other dog we starve. We don't work him out. He's hungry all of the time. He's not able to walk well. He's very, very sickly. And we allow those two dogs to fight. Eric, which one of those dogs do you think is going to win that battle?
You would think the one that you fed and strove and trained
right.
up and
they,
prepared. That's what you would think.
Right. The healthy dog is going to win. Now, the problem is this. We all have two dogs inside of us. We have a flesh. We have a spirit man. We all have those two dogs. Whoever we feed is going to win. Whenever you feed your flesh, your flesh is going to win out. Whenever you feed your spirit is going to win out. But whatever one you feed, whichever one of those dogs you starve, is going to lose that battle. And I can guarantee you that if we could take a spiritual look into the inside of this man, this young man, that we will find a very starved, deprived, sickly, spiritual man, and a nice, full, in plenty of health, strong, bold, fleshly man, fleshly dog. I'm sure that's what you would see. Because in the end, it wasn't even a battle. It wasn't even a fight. There was no remorse. There was no mention of anything of, you know, I really don't want to do this. There was nothing on the other side to be an antagonist, which lets you know that there was no fight from the spiritual man, which also lets you know that spirit man had not been fed.
So the spirit man had not been fed, and it's about what you feed. At the end of the day, right?
Right. So is feeding the spirit or feeding the flesh the question?
Yes. You know, the going back to our analogy with the seed, this flesh is like a dormant seed. They're alive but asleep, but need time or need something to subject to an environment where before they begin to germinate, before they begin to grow. You know, as you know, the germination is really that growth of that embryo. Is simply the foundation of internal seedlings, right? It's a small package of fruit after the male and female join together. It's simply a rebirth. We have some dormancy and has rebirth. This dormancy breaking, the waking of the seed starts with first the breaking of the membrane, the outer shell, that vessel that Pastor Washington and I was talking about. As the uptake water through the seed, it's called imbibition, which means to kind of drink. The seed imbibes water, right? And the water doesn't imbibe the seed. As the seeds imbibe water, accepts water, they expand and make food and grow, and it causes things to kind of expand and pressure enlarge. This water kind of penetrates the seeds and signal to that plant, the hormones that the signal to stop that plant acid. There's a plant acid in there that inhibits this germination, this growth, okay? This acid controls these plant hormones and keep the seed asleep. So my point in this is that some of us are like that seed, asleep in despair, asleep in selfishness, asleep in homelessness, hopelessness, pennilessness, and we need awakening. But this acid that we talked about, this toxin has us perverted in some senses. And we have fruit but cannot bear it unless we have to be like the seed. We have to imbibe the water. We have to accept that water. We have to accept the water to come in. In other words, we have to accept that water. Although the water is free, it can be doused all over, it still has to be accepted. So we can only be hydrated and become fruitful. We can only produce energy and expand and enlarge if we imbibe, from a personal perspective, imbibe the living water that's in Christ. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So as John 10:10 shares, Jesus, the good shepherd, I am at the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and we will go in and out and find the pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So that's what it's about, being able to abide and bring in Jesus, the source of the living water, which he extends the invitation to us, Kennedy. So all who thirst, but the word of Jesus' invitation kind of echoes. He kind of stands at the doors and hearts and minds of us. So in this season, from this day onward, going back to our question, we have to imbibe Christ. He will abiding, if we imbibe, as with the plant has to, he will abide in you and you in him, as the word says. So the invitation to come to drink is free, and this living water is the new birth. To kind of bring our dormant seeds alive, and that's what we're all about, and that's what the Lord calls us to do. So John 7:39 shares, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He believes in me, as Scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So that's the analogy. We gotta have an awakening. We gotta need to be out of this dormant stage as we are as followers of Christ.
So now that I think about it, I remember that I've watched videos of germinating seeds in school and like online.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first part, the seedling starts to emerge from the seed coat, and then the root emerges. How is this significant or relevant?
the root is typically used as the first indication that the seed is viable, right? The seed is anchoring in the soil,
mm-hmm.
right, because it's come alive at this point. So eventually those shoots all expand, emerge from the seed, they begin to grow and make a difference. So that we make a difference in a sense, in order to make a difference, in order to get stability, in order to grow and become livelier, in order to create more, grow and bear fruit, in order for us to make difference in our lives. It's kind of like our guest that we had, our Make Difference Making series, where, like my sister Gladys, who her one word was an overcomer, who she beat breast cancer, launched an effort to soothe the spiritual well-being of women through Love Scarlet. Or my college teammate, J.J. Pruitt, who was a modern-day magi, who delivered gifts, a kidney to his mother when we were in college after he finished playing football. Forgiveness to a friend who killed his brother. And then he started getting a second chance to ex-cons through his Danon Project. Danon Project is the number one prison release program in the nation that he launched just because of a tragedy that happened to him in his life and his spirit of giving. Or even like our friend and homeboy Vincent Womack, who leads Perfect Harmony as he dedicates his life to music and serving kids and around that passion. So you know, we our show is asking each of us to remember that this life is really about love and surrender. And these difference makers and others did that, and they choose not to surrender to self or world or doctrine. But to stand for Jesus and commit to their life to him, to abide in him and die for him daily.
What do you mean by dying for him daily?
Dying for him daily is what Paul spoke about so often. It is how we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, as he instructed in Romans, I think, chapter 8, and also in Galatians. The whole issue of dying daily is the absolute remedy. It literally means that you have to die to self daily. In other words, deny yourself in bad times and good times, even when we had some a show about being kidnapped or being in prison or being neglected, are being lied on, or cheated on, stolen from, enslaved, in bondage to drugs, alcohol, sex, greed, all those things we've covered today. And if we won't die to self daily, we even walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. So I think it's probably best described. I put a cut together for my friend and mentor, Dr. Gerald Turner, where he talked about. I'll just let you hear it, and he'll about denying ourselves.
Greater are they who by relinquishing that which they cannot keep, will gain what they can never lose. Mm-hmm. God's grace and mercy.
Amen.
All right.
Play that one more time, so everyone can hear it.
Greater are they who by relinquishing that which they cannot keep, will gain what they can never lose. Mm-hmm. God's grace and mercy.
Amen.
All right.
I think he said it all, right? We have to relinquish ourselves, our lives, into honoring God and serving Him. You know, like many of us, there are seeds who are not dormant, but alive and hydrated with living water and thriving in light, as John 8:12 tells us. Then Jesus spoke to him, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have light of life." But just like the plants, if germinating of the seeds occur in darkness, the roots, to your question earlier, they grow slow, right, after they emerge and they kind of elongate, they kind of accelerate it. But if we stretch our legs, this allows us, that living water of Christ allows us to stretch our legs out a little bit more, get more rooted in the sand. When you're in the batter box a little bit, you kind of make your holes in the dirt. You kind of get yourself situated so you can have some balance. And this behavior increases the chance that the seedlings will emerge from the soil in light, where it will be able to obtain energy and the sunlight from, as you go back to your photosynthesis, but this is godly photosynthesis.
Right.
And his godly photosynthesis is the light that's in Jesus. So once these seedlings, us, emerge from the light, they kind of go on, undergo this dramatic change by turning green, producing leaves, producing fruit, and so forth. And so This ministry is really about transformation, and this transformation is not like any other. It's a rebirth, allowing the Lord to use you in order to make an impact, connected, cohesive. Your spirit tells you that things are true. It's like leaders focus on, as I said, solving the problems, the root of the problems, and rather than the symptoms of those, and really transforming the cells or the mechanisms that are operating, and even more important, allow us to be sowers, which goes to our second part of the question, sowers where we pour ourselves into others, is being one to another and being a brother's keeper, if you think about it.
Okay. So that kind of leads to the second part of the new season. From this day onward, we have to be sowers. But before we do, we're going to take a break.
Okay, well, great. Well, great. And so she's leading this. Lead it on.
So after the break, we will continue our talk with our new season from this day onward. During the break, please stay with us and call and log in to share your thoughts. Call us at 310-861-2331. To ask a question or make a comment, please press 1 on your telephone, which raises your hand virtually. You're welcome to log in into our live chat to share what's on your mind, and I will chat with you and bring you into the conversation. Friends, we would love to have you here, so again, please call 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm standing in for your host. I'm Kennedy Powell, along with the founder of Cue Leadership Institute, and my dad, Eric Powell. So we will be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back.
Look at you.
Thanks for staying with us. This is On Cue Radio, and I'm your host, Kennedy Powell. Our mission is to help you lead you where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. So today's question is new season from this day onwards. Helping us also is you, so please call us at 310-861-2331. Also helping us is me, your co-host today, Kennedy Powell, also with our host, founder of Q Leadership Institute, and my dad, Eric Powell.
Wow, look at you. Look at you.
So our question of the day in our new season from this day onward, we have to determine if we are a seed, sower, or the soil. So before the break, we began the discussion of being a sower.
Yeah, so we talked about that, and this is probably been preached about and talked about and from a variety of ways, but this is also a question of the flesh and the spirit as well, I believe. We picked this up on a few shows when it comes to A Preacher's Diary, where Why Me, O Lord, where a great friend and pastor of mine opened up about brokenness and homelessness and so forth, and the question was, why me, O Lord? But at the end of the day, why not me, O Lord? Right, and it's about sowing even in tough times. Even the NFL draft day, when the call comes, we had a great show. We had a former NFL player talk about, and we used the acronym NFL about the Lord calls your name, and He asks you to F follow and L for the lead, and it's all those things when He calls your name. Do that, He's wanting you to be make an impact in somebody's life, being a sower, if it's time, talents, or whatever those are. You know, but speaking of being a sower, though, in the season of football, I growing up in Alabama, we didn't have a pro team, so I followed. Mm-hmm. There's a team I had to pick one. It's probably the Steelers. Hopefully people don't stop listening because I said that. But I have a new team that I watched because I always look at organizations. You know, you admire those organizations consistently win, and their story and their history and their culture doesn't change. That's the Steelers. There's a lot of them like that. Mm-hmm. But the Bengals have been moved up to my top of my list.
Why's that?
Because this week the Bengals cut a player. They cut Devin Steele, and mm-hmm. but signed him to the practice squad to keep him with the team so he can make sure he pays for his daughter's cancer treatment.
Wow.
And so even though I'm sure he was good enough to do it, but it was a way of making sure that they cover this person. So, you know, he's on the practice squad. He receives medical insurance. His weekly salary about $6,300. Even though he practices every day, but he doesn't have to travel since he's on the practice squad. So he's home. He can spend time. That is sowing into somebody. That is sowing into someone. Yeah, maybe it's a business element, but it maybe it's PR, whatever it is. They sow into Devin Steele. And, you know, and we had a model of that. We had a lot of models of that on the show, a lot of guests who've been on who sold into other folks. But I think, you know, one that really sticks out is Dr. Nate Hearns. He's a frat brother, friend, known him for a long time. And we highlighted his new book about Friday Night Lights, if you remember, and the untold stories behind the lights. And Dr. Hearns, if you don't know, is a lifelong coach, pastor, teacher, administrator who used his unique perspectives in order to build leadership and character on and off the field. He was the coach that was profiled in the original movie, Billy Bob Thornton, about Friday Night Lights, who was accused. It was a big thing about the mojo. He was accused of cheating, which he didn't, and just because the Crosstown Rivalry wanted to stop their 23-year winning streak. I think it was 23 years, if I remember correctly. But let's listen for a second to Dr. Nate Hearns. We had him during our wellness series, and he'll tell you why sowing is so important. So let's play that if we have it. Thanks for joining us. You got a question for Dr. Hearn?
Yes, I do. Now, I grew up listening to you, Dr. Hearn, and one of the quotes that stuck in my mind was, "You may be the only Jesus this world will ever see." What did that mean?
That means that young men like you, Maxwell, who are out there in the world, and you you know the right from wrong, and it's when you do those things that you don't think anyone is watching you, when you just naturally display that character, and those people who really need to know what it's all about, when they see you, that's the Jesus that they're looking at. You're the Jesus that they see. And every day you walk that walk of character, it's going to leave a legacy for people to follow.
Wow. So why I said that moment, he didn't necessarily talk about sowing, but if you're allowing the living water, it's like the Christ in you. Christ is, you may be the only Christ that people see to his point, but when you're sowing that living water, it's a catalyst for believers and unbelievers, and it's a way of helping bring that love and surrender to others, as you talk about. But we also, it does another thing. We have to do this. We have to let iron sharpen iron a little bit. Because if you say it in Proverbs, where our iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another, it's important to be one to another, to help with wellness, to help with making a difference, to help with hopelessness, to help with coping. But at the same time, as you're helping for the man by using the living source, sharpening their iron so that they'd be able to do the same thing for someone else. Does that make sense?
Yes. So would you say that Dr. Hearn is an example of good soil as well?
I would say so. You know, if I had to pick a passage to talk about seed, soil, and sower, it would have to go to Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. I'm sure who knows the word been itching for me to say that at this point. But if you go to Matthew 13, and Jesus says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone, he already talked about the parable, but he explains it at the end, and starting in verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but then have no roots that they can last only a short period of time. And when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns and refers to someone who hears the word and the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, and this is someone who produces a crop and yields 100, 60, 30 times that was sold. So people like Dr. Hearns and others who are on the show and others that you see in your community, in your homes, your entire life, that's how you know, right? They produce, they yield a crop of others. And that's what he's done. He's always talked about the Jesus factor. And you know, it's tough to do that in schools, yeah. But nowadays because of whole political correctness. But we have to work around that. And how you work around that is to his point, the only Jesus people will see is probably you, and they'll want to know why you have peace in your heart and your spirit. And that's what when I hear and talk to Dr. Hermann, he's at peace. Even like Steve Fitzhugh, who was on a show about little Stevie, a former NFL player. And what did you say after the show that he was so calm, right?
Yes, yeah. He was very calm throughout the whole entire show.
Because that has peace. Be anxious about nothing, and that's what I take from both of them. You know, but those seeds falling out of good soil refers to someone, like I said, hears the word and understands it, and who produces a crop yielding 160 times to 30 times fold. He's a great example of that. And he and others who were on the show all have heard the call and received the call. They're sowers, they're seeds, they're sowers and soul. But, you know, but there's one important thing they have in common is they're in harmony. They're on one accord with Christ. He's the living water. They allowed him to imbibe in them in order to grow roots, right?
Right.
In order to germinate, in order to spark those seedlings. And when you come to a break ground out your shell, the sunlight, the God's only shining light, which is Christ, is photosynthesis, can help you grow. But because you got good roots, though, but if you have you don't have good roots, what do plants do? Kind of like water plants. They grow fast and wither and die because they don't have roots. That's why some of us are like that. I was one of those for a little while. I can admit that because I wasn't abiding. I wasn't completely allow him to imbibe in me at times. And, of course, it started running years ago when I was called by 10, 11 years old. I've been called that long ago and running. But at the end of the day, though, it is about having that perfect, that harmony, being on one accord. And with what I mean by harmony, if you remember the show where we had Vincent Womack, who a music teacher, performer, very well, and I spelled out harmony, if you remember. H is for harboring love and forgiveness and service and helping your family man. And essentially, he that loves and serves first, that's what we have to do. And that's where what we're called to do. A is associate with others no matter where they come from, right? No matter where they come from. And don't be haughty. Don't be not to associate with the lowly, to be, you know, we run into people all the time, feel like they're above or even sometimes below others, but we're all the same in Christ's sight. And no matter if you wise or in your own sight or not, it is we have to associate with each other. And then the reputation, in a sense, you have a reputation as a server, not a divider, who devotes himself to prayer and ministry of the word. That's what we talk about, harmony from this day forward. That's what we need to be doing. Meekness. It's a tough one for all of us, I think, to show humility, humble ourselves, and be passionate to others. And also to, you know, above all, to put love first and have a forgiving heart as we go back to the harbor. And the O is outdo each other on showing honor to God. You know, not necessarily in competition, but in a sense of, you know, not to where the Lord's going to love you less or more.
Right, yeah.
But let's try to let's move our praise a little bit higher and knowing to put him first in all that we do. And then in nurture, be one to another, caring for one another. It's necessarily for not only for our kids, our new seeds to grow, but also the new believers in the church. New believers, no matter who they are, we can't we can't, it's just like I heard a good friend of mine say, Eric, you can't burn green wood. You're a new believer. You just can't just allow, we have to coach and counsel people in order to help them continue to grow because they can't burn. They're still green. And so that's an important thing. So it's about training, not being judgmental. It's about encouraging, about speaking the truth in love, all those things. But here's the important one. I know I got a long answer, but here's the important one. Back to Matthew 13. It is, the why is yield. It is yield. And at that point is yield, we'll bear fruit. Yield other fruit. Yield other ministries. Yield other love. Yield other people, leaders who are out there. And I swear there's a lot of individuals who will see this but need awakening. We need a germination, right?
How do you know when you see it?
Well, you know, also in Matthew, it talks about you will know them by their fruits, right? You can't control everybody, and everyone has a choice in what they do. I think it's Matthew 7, it's, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, be inwardly are ravenous wolves. They are basically wolves in sheep clothing, as we talked about in our covenant series last week. And what we see is leadership, especially around the Ferguson incident. No one's talking about love and forgiveness. Everyone's talking about justice, but their own justice, and want some peace. But they're not putting the Lord first, because that's the only way you're going to get both. Okay? And so, but in the Matthew 7, 16 goes on to say, you will know them by their fruits. Say, grapes are gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles are they. So every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. So you got to know people about it, have that level of discernment from not only if you don't have that level of discernment, get people around you who do. And so that's one of the key elements around key leadership, having that level of discernment that in order to understand what the challenges are and how do you deal with those.
Great input. So as we close, I have been waiting this chance for a long time since I was in third grade to ask you these questions because you ask these questions to me every single week.
Okay. Okay.
What went well this year?
Wow. What went well this year? I believe what went well, I stopped being idle. Stopped being idle of where just doing things, starting, taking my curriculum of starting where you are, using what you have, as we talked about, started on purpose. Starting where you are, use what you have. I did that. Instead of putting together these great business plans of finding money to donate to our nonprofit in order to build these programs and have these great PowerPoint slides and having this great business plan of why, what the mission is, what our purpose, and how we're going to execute with our team and all those things I do from a managed consulting in general, I put those aside, just started doing. And I have to hang my hat, especially around you know, the huddles and the workshops, but around the radio, I have to really commend Pastor Dwayne Washington, where I started from, and we're still talking about doing some other things. It just gave me the flexibility to get on Blog Talk, where he encouraged me, really kind of forced my hand. We were going to a meeting, and he just said, hey, let's get on the radio. And if you see on the website, we got a test show. That's what that was. We were just on the radio talking. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I have to, you know, thank him. Again, that's another person pouring into me. That's somebody who has let the living water in order to create and yield more fruit, because he does that with other shows and other people and who not only just in radio but also film and other things. So, again, it all connects together where he was – he planted a seed, and he also sowed into me, and he's also, his platform is a soil for me to kind of get some roots around on Q Radio. So, again, another example. Okay?
So, second question. What could have gone better this year?
what could have gone better this year? You never know if you miss windows of not when Lord calls you and stirs you, shake things around you a little bit, which is probably a show in itself, been shaken versus stirred, you know, not from a James Bond perspective, but was it shaken, not stirred? Is that what it is? I was you know, I'm always the right person to, I won't say the right person, I always try to look in the mirror. And that's what I've always tried to do, even when I come up against challenges, if it's at work or if I was playing football, playing sports. And never tried to blame other folks, even though I've done that sometimes, but always come back looking myself in the mirror, right? But I think that if there's one thing that I would have done, there's probably a few things I've done differently, what could have gone better. I think at the beginning of this was making the ministry about me. You're going to talk about the me now culture.
Right.
It's making this ministry about me, and it's not about me. It's about the Lord and about how he's using me as an instrument to be invested. And I think that came apparent was where, it's not a, I always try to keep too much personal stuff off the radio, off the airs, but I got to share this story of where my cousin Darlene, who lives in DFW, invited me to her ministry because the table, mm-hmm. and had a few other ministries around. It's a great concept. She brings them in to speak and eat and talk about it, and really fellowship and how we can help each other. And so it was my turn to talk about Q leadership. And the whole time, and Ty reminded me afterwards, your mom, I said, I did this. It's about me. I. Probably if you could count them. But I had not made it about us. This was our ministry. And it was planting seeds for us as a family as well, in order to go out and do my calling is our calling. It's all individuals who are listening are calling. But I think if I could have done something better, it was that, not making it just about me.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what is next for you?
What is next for me? Oh, wow. Next for me, a variety of things. Yeah, I mean, in the last stages with the, and we pray, I ask for everyone's prayer, to the last stages of negotiations or process with a well-known players association to use Q or use play as the decision-making accountability tool for players. We pray that continues to move forward. I plan on some huddles around December time, around the NCAA championships, which is going to be in DFW at this time. And the intent is to bring captains from most of the universities to talk about decision-making, targeting college players. And there's a few people who want to partner on that. Launching the Gatekeeper series with the YMCA, and as well as with churches as well. And all this facilitated, though, which I'm excited about, is Kim and David Soosby, who's a Tush Publishing. You know, we're in the final stages. I know our OR, some edits, if she's listening. I'm in the chapter 7 of 9 of the book around Q leadership, and it should come out this fall. And my imaginary time, I got to write some more chapters, is already there, set up, and so forth. And they're really helping in so many different ways. Of really making sure you get the thoughts off the page and kind of structure in a slight way and tell the story. And so I don't know if I'll give the name of the book yet. I'll just wait for the next show to talk about that. And then there's a variety of speaking engagements. I just taken out the trash, as you know, and got invited to someone's church to facilitate a men's leadership conference. So I have one of those, and then on a few others at some churches and other speaking engagements along the way. So I think that that's in the sense of a few things that I would need to be, I want everyone to be in prayer with me about. Did I miss anything that I hadn't talked about that we've talked about over the years, you know, over the last few weeks?
I think you covered everything.
Yeah.
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
And so, you know, all of this is to, you know, just remember that, you know, our purpose is really to align and equip and transform new leaders for the Lord's glory. And, you know, just to reiterate about Q, about common ground, kind of think about it in Nehemiah, we all most know the story. We ensure these exiles, what he did, he remembered they had a share, a historic claim and right to Jerusalem. That was the common ground. You, the unified thought, was his purpose to rebuild a wall, rebuild a way of life, but it was led by God's promise. And he reminded him of that promise, that shared vision that he gave to Abraham centuries before, generations before, and reminded him of the historic history, but also the results of that disobedience as well.
Mm-hmm.
E equally yoke, and if you can go through... which also brings up another point of I have a team building piece that's coming out. It's all based in the book of Nehemiah. And it shows it kind of connected to the equally yoked piece where he's planned and led some that transformation for everyone. He set the path, he defined roles, defined success look like, reinforced sacrifice, and really, really talked about the promise. That's the way in order to commit it to that. And essentially that structure is right for team building where he created the 12 tribes when eventually it came to two and eventually to one. Because
mm-hmm.
of that structure he set in place, that team building, that village, in a sense, allowed him to do that because everyone knew their roles, really got him for the yoke. So that's in a sense that maybe in all of that is really helping ensure everyone's on cue with the Lord's will, and on cue with his call in our lives, and also get others on cue with that calling. So is there anything I missed? You kind of threw me a curveball a little bit around taking over, but I liked it. You've done a great job, and I'm sure I think you got a great comment on Facebook already about love how Kennedy is co-hosting the show. That's it, Kennedy and Darlene.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so... So at the end of the day, though, what do you see that I could have done better? I know lots of times you coached me because I messed up cirrhosis last week, and I was saying cirrhosis instead of I'd do better. But what do you see? What do you see? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but
what could you have done better this year? Let's see. I mean, you've done so much. I'm actually so proud of you. Like, I'm very proud of you, what you've done. You know, ever since starting producing the show, you know, being a teenager, you know, I never really got into, like, what you were doing until you started this radio show, and I started to see how much you've grown as a person, and I've seen a lot of change in our family and you as a person, and it's just amazing. So I don't know if you, because since I don't know exactly what you're doing and how you're going to push this forward, I don't know what you could have done better this year. This year you've had a great start with having this first step with your ministry, and it's just awesome. I don't think I have anything.
Well, you're gonna make dad cheer up here, right? I guess you would know them by their fruits. So, but you know, I thank you for that, and you know, it's kind of indirectly on purpose of getting you involved because you not only hear the radio but also from the facilitation. So at some point you would hope, you know, you would know them by your fruits.
Right.
And so that goes back to what I should have done differently. To your point, I've been doing this for years and never involved my family. Right. You didn't know until you got involved. So that was a lesson learn from me before. So I think that's it.
So I guess we're going to close out.
Yeah, okay.
So before we go, I thank you for celebrating our 50th show and our first year anniversary. We hope that our ministry helped us and get you on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership. and invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. We give all honor and praise to the true catalyst, Jesus Christ our Savior. Thanks to those who tuned in. I'm sure my father would like to thank his producer, actually co-host, me, his better half, best friend, and wife, my mother, mom, my little sister Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. We dedicate the show to leaders everywhere. This has been On Cue. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Let us help you get on cue.